Good evening. The Parsha Shemos, we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu over here, obviously, but the Parsha, interestingly enough, begins with closing off the ending, the Parsha ending off Bereshis once again. And of course, most all the Mefarshim comment right away why we have to say Vayomas Yosef V'chol Achav V'chol Adorahu. And then when it lists all the Shvatim, as opposed to listing the grandchildren, and only miss the names that list the name of the Shvatim. And then, strangely enough, it says "V'yosef hayah b'Mitzrayim." It's very interesting that we obviously it's something we know. And since the Torah is so terse with all the information, and we don't get very much information that we would like, and when it says something that is seemingly extra, we always try to figure out why. Now, the Chazal don't tell us anything why, but what I was thinking when I mull it over in my mind during the week. We have another pasuk when Moshe asks God, Shlachna, he tells God, Shlachna biat tishlach, that God tells him, I want you to be the one to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. And this is a whole long week process of them talking day in and day out for a week until he convinces Moshe. And one of the things that that God tells Moshe, which is a very important fact, and he says, Bnei Bechori Yisrael. And I've mentioned this before, but with something else in mind now. When we say Bnei Bechori Yisrael, God is trying to impart to Moshe that, of course, Bnei Yisrael are very concerned that why should they be taken out now? And the thought process was amongst many of the Jews that, you know, here we are, we've been in Golos now for 210 years. Bnei Esav are growing and being they're living berevach and they're having so much hatzlacha. They're living the life of Riley, so to speak, for so many years. And here we are for the last 210 years suffering. And perhaps that this is because the problem here is God is punishing us because Yaakov stole the Bechorah from Esav. And that is the reason for the punishment that we're in Golos now. And God says, don't even think that for 1 minute. You know why? Because Bnei Bechori Yisrael. But why I wanted to tie that into the whole idea of the Yosef Hayah b'Mitzrayim. We know the Jews were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. But if you take the letters of Bechori, you add up the numbers of Bechori, it adds up to the number 232. 210 we know. And Yosef was also in Mitzrayim 22 years before the Shvatim and Yaakov came down. And if you take the 210 and add it to Yosef being in Mitzrayim as well, that comes out to the 232. So the reason I'm taking you out now is Bnei Bechori Yisrael. While you're only here 210 years, but you are my Bechor because Yosef being, you know, the favorite son of Yaakov, he's been here already 232 years, more than anybody else, and because of him. And that is brings up another very interesting point, because we think of certain things, or who are the greatest people among Judaism, and the greatest Nevi'im, the greatest people. And sometimes we don't look carefully at people who weren't Nevi'im. And the biggest, in the Gemara, it points out, there's a Gemara in Megillah that makes an interesting point and says that Daniel Ishchamudos was really greater than many of the Nevi'im, even though he was never a Navi. In Bereshis, we come across, we have Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Certainly the three of us were the greatest of the greats. But we have Yosef that comes after that. And in some level, I look at the life of Yosef, and I think that Yosef is really on some level greater than even the Avos to some degree. And the reason I say that is we know Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are Nevi'im, but think for 1 minute, if you've gone through trouble and then every once in a while, God would literally have a communication with you and say, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Everything will be all right. I think you would be able to sleep well at night to know that God is watching over you very carefully. Yosef never had one of those communications, and yet look all the things that he went through and made every correct decision from the time he was sold into slavery and all the trouble he went through in Mitzrayim for all those years until he was appointed to the throne and still living without his family. Imagine God never came to him and said, don't worry, everything will be all right. Everything will come out fine. Never happened to him. And because that is so important, we have this, when we get to Bishalach, we have something, again, very interesting. When God split the sea, initially Chazal tell us something very interesting, that when God told the sea to split, which is problematic on certain things because of other things that we've said in the past, but we'll leave that out for the moment. When we get to Bishalach, we'll talk about it. But it says, when we say Hallel, which we will be saying next week for Rosh Chodesh, and we say it every Rosh Chodesh, it said, Hayom ro vayonos. Ma ro hayom. What did the sea saw? What did it see? What did it see that it vayonos? So Chazal tell us a very famous message, ro arono shel Yosef. They saw the aron of Yosef at Tzadik. Why did it split for Yosef? Because the sea, it said, did not want to split because it said, when you created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us the power to, the sea flows, all the water, there's a water cycle in the world and keeps on going. So we choose not to split. But what happened is when it saw the Arono Shel Yosef, when he had the confrontation, the incident with Eishes Potiphar, and he went against the grain and he did something that was so difficult for him. He went against his teva. And against, because nobody would have known, nobody would have seen except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are told, you know, he saw the Onko Shel Aviv, he saw Yaakov's face, and he walked the straight and narrow and didn't fall into that trap. So Rav said, if he could change his course, then we could change our course. Rav Arono Shel Yosef. More than seeing Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the sea split for Yosef itself. But the interesting thing is, what is so great? I entitled the Shia tonight, a three-day tour. We begin the parsha with something, not begin the parsha, but we are told that when Moshe finally accepts the job to be the one, to be the Shliach, to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to take them out of Golos, God tells him that you'll go before Paro and you will tell him that we only want Derech Shloshis Yomim Nelech Bamidbar V'Zavachnu L'Hashem Elokeinu. We just want a three-day vacation. That's all we're asking for. Just for three little days to go and pray to our God and we'll come back. Now, of course, that was not meant to be, and that was the whole, but the question is, what was the purpose of that story in the first place? Why did God pick that? Of course, we want to say he wanted to throw him a carrot and that they would go suddenly, they would leave for 3 days and not come back. But that's not necessarily true. And the interesting thing, if we think about it, what did the Jews think? Did the Jews think, did the Bnei Israel and Mitzrayim think for 1 minute that they were only going for 3 days when they found out that Moshe was asking for a three-day vacation? That's all they were planning? Or when Moshe went around to tell them that the time has come, that Pokod Yivkadati Eschem, that the time has come, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. I mean, Paro never found out about all of these things, that it was a secret for those, the three-day trip was the Bnei Yisrael never let the cat out of the bag. There were no spies. Certainly people of the likes of Dosan Vaviram didn't say anything, or other people of that nature didn't tell them it's a three-day trip. But the question is, what was the reason for this whole incident that he would concoct this story of only taking a three-day trip? And what we're told is something very interesting, that the Abarbanel makes a very interesting point, that the lie that kept on being promulgated again and again and again just for 3 days is only because when we get to Bishalach, when it says Vahi Bishalach Paro Esa'om, it doesn't mean that he sent him out for good. It doesn't mean that when he sent them out after the 10 Makos that he expected them not to come back. Because let's not forget that Vashem Nosan Ascheinu Om Beinei Mitzrayim, you know, Vayashilum, and they lent them all their gold and silver and all their things. They certainly expected to get it back. So even when the Bishalach begins, they weren't leaving for good. They thought they were coming back. So what happens, you know, and Paro finds out that they're not coming back, that after they find out that it's 3 days and they haven't tried to come back yet, and so obviously they're moving forward. It says, "Vayeyofech Paro levav Paro Elohim vayomru mazos motzinu kishilachnu es Yisrael meyavdenu." It doesn't mean "Vayeyofech blav Paro" that we gave them, that we chased them out for good. It means that initially, when we were going to try to bring them back, to herd them in, to take these 3 million people, bring our army, and turn them around and get them back to Egypt. Vayeyofech levav Paro means something much more devilish. And what he's saying is over here, vayomru mazos, when he says vayeyofech levav Paro, changed his mind about bringing them back. He decided now that after all the makos and the condition that Mitzrayim was in at this point, that he had decided to kill them all. And that is something very interesting. He decided that at this juncture, he's now going to wipe out all the Jews. And that is what it means, vayafoch, vayeyofech levav Paro. He changed his heart. Instead of trying to bring them back, he decided to kill them all now. And that is what the point of the story is. And the only way he could get them to come to the Yam was to concoct this story about a 3-day tour. Because if he had told them right from the beginning that when we leave, we're leaving for good, they never would have had the ability to chase them and never would have chased them. So there would be no point in changing his mind because he knew that they sent them out for good. The point was to entice him to get to all the Mitzrayim, to get to the Yam Suf, so that to draw them there. And then he could kill all the Egyptians. Because as we know, we need every time when we're being chased, what we're always looking over our shoulder and we're always looking for closure. And the only way we get closure is for all the big Egyptian army with all the chariots, v'chol rechav Mitzrayim, the Sheish Meos Rechav Bachur, v'chol, just not 600 chariots, but all the main 600, the great chariots and the normal regular chariots, whatever they were, the two soldiers in a chariot or the one person in a chariot. They had different types of chariots, but they came there to kill the Jews. And now God needed to get them. And once they saw all the Mitzrayim drowning in the Yam Suf, B'nai Yisrael have closure at this point in time. They know they are finally a free people, that the object has been, and this is what God's plan was right from the beginning. But the question that is, like I said, is left open is, did the Jews know this from the beginning, or was this told to them only at the end? Because as we know, Chazal tell us in Parshas Bo that a lot of the Jews in the Choshech died because a lot of them were not planning to leave. And only it says, Vachamushim Alu, that they speculate that only a fifth of all the Jews, which is impossible to believe, if three million Jews left, that would mean there were 15 million Jews in Mitzrayim. That doesn't work out somehow in terms of population growth. But regardless, the whole ruse was to get them to the Yam Suf. They concocted the story of the 3 days. And all the events that lead up to that have to take place with the 10 makos. But what I wanted to mention is, from all the makos, and we think, we always talk about the Tzach, Hadash, V'Achav, that the makos of Makos B'choros, the culmination of all the makos, the one that was the ultimate death sentence for the Egyptian was the Makos B'choros. But the reality is, in my mind, when I think about it, in terms of the what goes on in the world today, it says, Vashem, as I started to say before, Vashem nosan eschein ho'om b'yenei Mitzrayim. And God said he will put favor in the eyes of the Mitzrayim towards the Jews. Imagine, here we are after all 10 makos, after they have laid waste, God has destroyed Egypt. And that's why so many Egyptians left with B'nai Yisrael, the Erev Rav, that were living in Egypt. So many of them, being front runners, decided there's nothing left to stay for in Egypt. We might as well leave with the Jews. Things seem to be going well for them. They have this God, this mighty God. We're going to follow them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. But the reality is that this was not to be. And we have this problem. Do they know what's happening here? Does anybody really know what's going on? It's a very difficult thing. And Moshe is just trying to bargain his way out and try to wiggle room over here and say, and that's why Chazal tell us Moshe was 18 years old when he left the palace. And it says, Vayetzei Bayom HaShini Vinei, and he saw Vinei Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim, Bayom Elorosho Lomos HaKereyecha. The day before, when he saw that the Mitzri was hitting a Jew, suddenly all these people that were his friends, that were all his friends, he grew up the early years of his life. He had a lot of all his chaverim in the palace. Certainly the whole royal family, they treated him so well. And now he is going out and he kills this Mitzri. And the interesting thing, it says, Vayaches HaMitzri. The word HaMitzri, again, another gematria here. HaMitzri is equal to 345, which is the same gematria as Moshe. What was required of Moshe now is he broke the bonds of his Egyptian upbringing. He now bared his soul and was able to have sympathy and empathy for the, realize that he was a Jew and not an Egyptian. And he was able to not just smite the mystery, but to smite the Hamitzri, because it says when Moshe went out, Vayar bisivlosam. The word really should have said Vayar sivlosam. He saw their travail. But what does it mean, Vayar bisivlosam? He saw in their plight. The reality is, he became, at this moment of his life, he turned to being a Jew. And that's why when Moshe gets to the burning bush, God knows one thing. When Moshe approaches the burning bush, Hashem says something very interesting that we see later on in Yehoshua, a different form of the word. And he tells Moshe, Shal ni olecha me'al raglecha, take off your shoes, because ki ha'makom asher ato meid olav ad mas kodeshu. The interesting thing is, by Yehoshua, at the very beginning of Yehoshua, the Malach that comes to Yehoshua says to him something that's also very strange, that gives us rise to interpret Moshe's experience differently. It says, Shal nalcha me'al raglecha. What good is taking off one shoe? What is the symbolism of only taking off one shoe? Because Moshe was able to strip away all the outer layers of his feeling towards the Egyptians and to bear his soul to that God could penetrate every little thing that he did. And he knew he was susceptible to experience God on the highest level of any human being. Yehoshua, being as great as a Navi as he was only able to strip away the outer layer, not both shoes, so to speak. Shal nalcha me'al raglecha. You, I know, Yehoshua, you're a great Navi, but you are only able to take off one shoe. You can't strip away all the outer layers and let God, you have some sort of barrier between letting God permeate you in every fiber of your being. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach that level and could handle the whole idea and keep up the ruse. And that, of course, what was going on and all these things, there are so many things in the parsha that we have to, that we look at, that just keep on going and going. And of course, we know that it was thus, we were told to Sheva. One other thing, just to mention an aside over here, is one of the Gemaras that makes a point of saying one of the things that happened in this parsha that is one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu, we carried Yosef's bones to Eretz Yisrael. At least if Moshe wasn't going to be buried, wasn't able to go into Eretz Yisrael, at least perhaps he should have been able to, just the way they carried Yosef's bones, they should have been at least let them carry Moshe's bones, of course, and not be, you know, stay in Chutz La'aretz like that, in Mitzrayim, in the confines. And we are told, because when he gets to Yisro, it says, when the Paro's, when he Yisro's daughters say Ish Mitzri, he tzilonu miyado roim, he did not correct them. He kept his mouth closed and didn't say, I'm not a Mitzri, I'm a Jew. Yosef was always saying, I am a Jew. He kept his religion on his sleeve, and he was always proud to say he was a Jew, no matter what he went through. All the time in jail, he never tried to make it a secret that he was an Ivri. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was said, when they talked about him, and they said, Ish Mitzri, Yitzilonu Miyado Roim, that was where Moshe made his first mistake. And Chazal tell us that that was one of the reasons that he had to stay in Chutz Laaretz. He didn't correct. But what I started to say before is, what we see is, with the 10 Makos, that Hashem Nosan Aschenu Om, the reason that was the greatest miracle of all, could you imagine today what Israel is going through in this 3 months now that we're fighting, almost 4 months of 3 months now that we're having this battle with the Hamas and the Hezbollah. Imagine if after all the people of them, all the battles that we've had and all the people that we killed of theirs, all of a sudden you pick up the newspaper tomorrow and it says, we love the Jews. Everything that they're doing is wonderful. Would you think that Mashiach is definitely coming? This is an incredible situation. How could that possibly be? And here we are in Mitzrayim. God has laid Egypt to waste. After all the Makos, there's nothing left. They have no food, no cattle, no horses, no nothing. The place is a total destroyed area, bombed out. London after the Blitz, and they say, we love the Jews. Moshe is great. Could you imagine if that would happen today, that the Arabs would come around and say that? Wouldn't we think that's the greatest miracle of all, forgetting about all the 10 Makos? And that is something that we pass over, and we just put that in the back of our minds and don't even think about it. May that day come soon, when the Arabs around in the world today see that the hand of God is guiding us and we have the success that proves our point. And when we do all these things, you mentioned that there's another Siyum Shas and all the mitzvot that we do, may it bring about that God comes to our aid and he splits the sea for us so that we could leave this gullus. Have a good evening. Thank you.